The idea that viruses are invading agents that cause disease was created by Louis Pasteur in the 1800s. His theory, known as the germ theory of disease, is the catalyst for all theories existing in the medical profession. Germ theory is responsible for the use of pasteurization, vaccines, and medical treatments. At the same time that Louis Pasteur was developing his germ theory, there was another French scientist by the name of Antoine Béchamp. Béchamp came up with his own theory of disease and documented and proved it in his book, The Third Element of Blood. His theory was radically different. It was called the terrain theory. The terrain theory proposes that all living microorganisms and viruses originate within the body, not from without. He discovered the processes of fermentation, and he observed that bacteria and viruses are pleomorphic, mutating based upon the terrain which they reside. This is the exact opposite of what Louis Pasteur proposed, which states that viruses occur in nature by themselves and create disease. This, as I will explain, is impossible. Viruses originate only in the presence of a living cell. However, science also says that viruses can occur in nature. So which is it? Viruses must have a cell in order to replicate. Science has admitted this. However, they are manipulating the people into believing only partial truths. The truth is that viruses are created in their whole form within the cell. They do not come from outside the body. They come from within the body. Viruses occur in the body as a result of systemic toxicity, not because the body has been invaded by an external threat. This is the big lie that the medical profession relies upon to justify the use of vaccines and dangerous medications. Without the false germ theory to rely upon and the contagious myth that is so brainwashed into people, the medical profession would have nothing to stand on and would topple like a house of cards. So what are viruses and what are their main purpose in the human body and in the bodies of animals? Viruses dissolve toxic matter when tissue is too toxic for living microbes to feed upon without being poisoned to death. Without viruses, the human body would not be able to sustain itself in the face of systemic toxicity. Since viruses are not alive, they do not know how to infect a cell on their own. They do not have a nucleus. They do not have respiration or a digestive tract. They are not alive. Therefore, viruses must have an assisting and guiding agent to accommodate their behavior. These are called antibodies. Importantly, it must be understood that viruses do not infect cells to invade the cell and replicate. Science would have you believe that viruses replicated in nature by themselves. But we know that viruses cannot replicate unless in the presence of a living cell. Therefore, how could a virus replicate itself when a virus is not alive and does not procreate? Science has claimed that a virus has indiscriminatory actions. This means the virus is supposed to be invading all cells in the body equally. But this is not the behavior that we observe. The reality is, viruses are very specific and they specifically dissolve specific tissues in the body. They do this with the assistance and guidance of antibodies. The virus contains the RNA and DNA necessary to dissolve specific tissues, and it acquires this from the energies of the cell. The cell has DNA. DNA is an energy form. Our bodies are not computers. We do not code. That is another mischaracterization of the human body. Energy exists in all cells and agents in the body. Cells will create the virus, therefore the cell will impart its own energy into the virus, which allows the virus, with the help of antibodies, to specifically dissolve tissue, waste, and debris. Viruses float in free suspension after they have left the cell. This is the nature of zeta potential. This is a law of the universe that keeps objects in free suspension, repelling or attracting themselves away from each other. This is an electrical energy charge known as static electricity. If viruses were not discriminatory and specific agents created by cells, we would observe everyone who gets infected with viruses all have the same level of sickness. But this is not what happens. This is a direct contradiction of virology itself. Because if viruses are contagious agents that come from outside the body, the virus would not care what level of health of the immune system or of the body that person had. Now, science would have you believe that viruses contain all the necessary tools to infect each region, tissue, and organ in the body. In the human body, we have many viruses. If I drink alcohol to excess for long periods of time, I may develop hepatitis. According to science, I would have had to have caught hepatitis, if we are to go by the logic of virology. Why would the body create hepatitis virus in the liver? Because the cells in the liver are attempting to cleanse the liver and themselves of toxicity to restore and reverse a toxic liver condition. Now, it has been shown that there are over 320,000 virus variants inherent to Earth and nature. Thousands of those exist within the human body, and they exist in the form of a blueprint. The blueprint exists in the genome. Now, the genome will direct the cells of the body what type of protein to manufacture. For example, if you have a damaged liver, it's going to call upon the hepatitis blueprint, and there are three types of hepatitis virus. The cells in the liver will therefore manufacture what they deem necessary. Depending upon the liver toxicity, you may need hepatitis A. You may need hepatitis B or C. It depends on the level of toxicity. Each virus is more or less the same in this regard. They all cleanse the liver and dissolve degenerated tissue. The level of symptoms that you will experience depends on the level of toxicity. When you have a high amount of toxicity, it will require you to have more viral activity. Thus, the breakdown of viruses means that you are going to experience a higher level of symptoms. You're going to feel more sick. Now, the reason that people experience symptoms with viruses and bacteria is because when these break down the degenerated tissue and waste, the body must eliminate what they break down. So how does the body do that? The body will eliminate 90% of toxins through the skin, and the rest through the bowels, the mouth, and the mucous membranes. This means coughing, sneezing, the skin. We have all manner of skin rashes and eruptions. White blood cells assist this behavior. Let's look at acne for an example. You have a pimple. It is white or black depending upon the toxin involved. If it is white, it uses white blood cells. If it is black, it is using red blood cells, which usually is an indication of too much iron. And it is a specific type of iron, the type from supplements which the body cannot utilize. White blood cells assist the action of expelling toxins, which are crystalline in nature, like a shard of glass that ruptures out through the skin. Now the white blood cell helps neutralize this behavior. It tries to help push it out of the body. This is the behavior of all infection. It is always the body trying to expel toxins or foreign debris from inside the body. Viral infection is necessary in order so that the body may reverse its toxic condition. But in people that have a suppressed immune system, their body cannot deal rationally with large amounts of virus breaking down toxic waste products, and therefore they may become sick and die. But this is rare. More likely, 99% of the people who have viral activity will overcome it. That is the function of the body. The body knows very well what to do. It is smart and has innate abilities. We should nurture and learn to love the body. When someone dies due to viral or bacterial infection, it is almost always because of medical treatment. The medical industry seeks an enemy so that it can justify the use of dangerous medical procedures and treatments. Erecting a wall between you and your body will result in the fear of your body and those around you. That is the primary purpose of the contagious myth. Brainwashing people into believing that they may catch a disease from someone around them allows the medical profession to keep people in fear. When people are in fear, they are easily controlled and manipulated. The people ask for a solution, and they provide it to them, not knowing that they have now enslaved themselves to their very own mind and body. When the mind becomes internally focused on its own problems, the focus is no longer on the surroundings of that person, but is focused internally on his own problems. When the body is unhealthy, this focus will magnify greatly. When a population is too concerned with their own ailments, they will have no concern for the exterior problems. Those in power take the opportunity to exploit this nature of man, slowly taking the rights away from the individual. They know how the human mind works, and they exploit it to their favor. Viruses and bacteria are cyclical in the body. The body is on a cycle, therefore viruses are on a cycle. Just like the weather is on a cycle, so too is the body. When toxic accumulations reach its highest point in the body, the bursting tide can no longer be held back. This may occur due to seasonal changes, climate changes, and temperature changes, stresses, strains, and worries. The changes in the seasons signals the body to dump large amounts of toxin accumulations into the blood. When toxins enter the blood system, bacteria must proliferate in order to break down and eliminate the toxicity now in the blood. However, if the microbes become poisoned to death due to the toxic nature of what is in the blood and what has accumulated in the body, The cells will create and manufacture viruses that are non-living protein solvents. They are protein structures. Viruses come in and break down the matter. They eliminate it so that the body can restore homeostasis. Without viruses, the body would have no recourse to cleanse itself and would die of toxicity. The nature of viruses must be understood. Viruses are not alive. Viruses are not contagious, and I will explain why. Viruses cannot be transmitted between people. Viruses originating outside the host cell cannot infect another host. The virus will not have the necessary RNA or DNA to infect other cells. Cells will not be infected by foreign debris, and that is exactly how a foreign virus is treated by the body. Because the body cannot recognize the virus, since it does not have the key or time to its activity. As a result, the virus is treated as foreign debris. When you inject animal viral tissues, the body does not recognize it, because it did not originate within the cells of your own body. Likewise, if a virus is transmitted through the air somehow, the virus will not be recognized in this way either. We also have the functions of the mucous membrane. When mucus is observed under a microscope, it exhibits a weave pattern. This weave pattern helps filter out foreign debris. If I was somehow able to manufacture viruses in a lab, by the trillions, enough to be able to spray it on a large population, this would still not spark the virus that I intended to create in the victim. However, if you are breathing this mist in, it is a foreign contamination, which the body must break down. In those cases, if it is toxic enough, the body will manufacture a respiratory virus. This is in order to break down the toxicity and eliminate it. If we look to China as an example, we can see that the air pollution there is so toxic that people have to wear masks in order to protect themselves. You can imagine, after breathing this in for an extended period of time, you are going to develop a respiratory illness. It just so happens that coronavirus is a respiratory virus. Coronaviruses have been around forever. If you have ever had a cold, it's likely that you have had a coronavirus at one point or another in your life. Coronaviruses are not new. However, the media has hyped it up and tried to convince the mass ignorant sheeple that it is new and dangerous. If we look to Italy as an example, we can see that Italy has one of the highest pollution rates in all of Europe. Therefore, you have a population there that is going to detoxify their bodies, and they're going to do this all at the same times. As I explained, viruses are cyclical because the body is cyclical. Toxic accumulations take time to build up, and they build up in the majority of the population at the same time. Therefore, the majority of the population will release their toxic accumulations around the same times as well. This behavior is what I call the illusion of viral activity. This can be exploited by those in power, because the person that is observing this believes incorrectly and out of ignorance that it is contagious. But this is simply not the case. The study of viruses is flawed by nature. In order for them to be observed in laboratories, viruses must be cauterized and taken and dried. This is called irradiation. This also takes the moisture content out of the virus. This is an attenuation process that kills the virus. However, as stated, a virus is not alive. Usually, it is animal viral proteins that are used to conduct these observations. Viruses are observed in petri dish environments that are sterilized. Toxic serums are used to keep the cellular activity alive but not healthy. Cells in such an environment do not have at their disposal the full range of microbial cleansing agents as it would appear in the human body. Therefore, scientists will always observe the prominence of viral activity, because cells must use viruses to cleanse themselves in such a toxic environment. They do not have bacteria or parasites, which they can call upon to consume and eliminate this toxicity. Therefore, scientists observe that viruses dissolve their own cellular activity, but this is an illusion. In order to observe viruses, viruses must be stained, which causes inaccurate observations of the virus, since the virus is not acting in a natural way as it would in the human body. Science knows this, but continues the fraud and deception anyway. Viruses are so small that they are the size of 0.1 microns. This requires incredibly powerful microscopes to see. Optical microscopes must require the staining process of viruses in order to show up on the microscope. So what does the virus behave like in the human body? The only way we will know that is if we view them in the living tissue. And we have just that, because Royal Rife invented his own microscope that could view living tissue in images up to 30,000 times their size. He was able to view microorganisms in their living state within the tissue. Rife observed that viruses and bacteria only occur due to imbalances within the bodily system. In short, he concluded that viruses and bacteria are pleomorphic, thereby confirming the findings of Antoine Baisham in the 1800s. Rife states in his findings, quote, "In reality, it is not the bacteria themselves that produce the disease, but we believe it is the chemical constituents of these microorganisms acting upon the unbalanced cell metabolism of the human body that in actuality produces the disease. We also believe if the metabolism of the human body is perfectly balanced or poised, it is susceptible to no disease." Unquote.
What anybody will discover when they search the record is that Royal Rife invented a microscope in the early 1930s, which was called the universal microscope, and its unique quality was that it was able to view viruses in their living state, able to view microbes as small as viruses in their living state. Now today, and even then, we had the electron microscope, which can see viruses, but in a snapshot approach, they're dead. They have to irradiate them with electrons, which is the method of operation. It kills them, and therefore you're not seeing the life process. And with optical microscopes, stains are used to bring out features, and the stains themselves are toxic. And once again, you've got dead samples that you're viewing. Well, Rife saw this limitation in microbiology and microscopy, and decided to address it. So his answer was to invent a microscope which used light to stain the sample, and thereby not killing it. And he was able to, using this method, obtain extreme magnification, extreme resolution, and he was able to view his samples in the living state, so he could see viruses moving around, going through their processes, which you can see with an optical microscope. But it was his ability to see viruses, which in the living state, which was his key innovation. And all of his other inventions, and there were many, all related to this, sort of bounced off the principles that the microscope operated on.
Viruses cannot cross species for a number of reasons. For one, RNA and DNA of the animal is not compatible with human RNA or DNA. According to science, they claim that animal viruses can be transmitted to humans. But the human body does not manufacture and replicate animal cells and tissue. We are humans. And when we eat animal flesh, it is converted in the stomach to human tissue, which we use for our own needs, to build muscle, for example. The only way to get animal viral tissue into a human body is through injection. Only then can animal tissue be observed in the blood. Therefore, the supposition that AIDS came from a monkey, or that coronavirus came from a bat, or that Ebola was caused by a bat, this cannot occur in nature. Now ask yourself, why is it that only in the past 40 years have these viruses occurred in nature? Why didn't they occur 1,000 years ago? Why didn't they occur 200 years ago? These viruses would have occurred in nature long before now, if what science is saying is true. It is impossible for animals to transmit viruses to humans, and it is impossible for them to transmit it between themselves. It is also impossible for humans to transmit viruses between themselves. The body does not recognize external viruses. Viruses have to be created by a cell in your own body and contain the necessary RNA or DNA given by your cell. There is no such thing as a majority viral strain. Every body is going to have a different strain because the body creates the strain for its own usage. Quoting from The Poisoned Needle by Elnora McBean, 1956, nutritional and medical doctor, quote, "During one of our most widespread polio epidemics in 1949, contraction of polio by definite contact with other victims of the disease was not established in an elaborate study made by the New York State Health Department. The United States Public Health Service, in its studies, also found the same negative answer during succeeding outbreaks of polio. In short, they learned that the disease was not contagious." Time magazine commented on this unexpected revelation of these surveys by remarking that, quote, "when and where people catch polio remains a mystery," unquote. The supposition that viruses entered through the mouth and nose led the experimenters to make exhaustive tests on both animals and human beings, mostly prisoners and orphans in institutions. They were exposed by close association to polio patients, and their throats and nasal passages were frequently swabbed with matter from the patients that was supposed to contain viruses. No polio was produced in this way, and about the only noticeable after-effects was that the subjects of the experiments lost their sense of taste and smell due to the damaging effects of the poisons in the serum that was used on the swabs. Unquote. Viruses only function within a human host or in petri dish environments where they can be kept in flux. Outside of the body, they become dry and lose their moisture. While they exist on surfaces like bacteria exist on surfaces, this, as stated, is not a danger. While sanitizers will, quote, kill the virus, so too will the mechanisms in the body filtrate out viral particles from the environment. The nose hairs and the nose and mucous membranes and the saliva in the mouth will neutralize viruses upon entry to the body. If they pass these mechanisms and defenses, the body has white blood cells that will neutralize them upon contact, even if a virus entered the body and bypassed all of its defenses. The virus is still not compatible with the body it enters. The virus must contain the specific RNA or DNA in order to be compatible with the body it enters. Also, blood-to-blood contact is not a vector of transmission of viruses. We bleed outwardly. We do not bleed inwardly. When we bleed out the body. This keeps the blood pure and keeps foreign contamination from entering back up into the body. This is one reason why AIDS and other viruses are not contagious. The only vector of transmission of viruses outside of vaccination is through blood transfusion of an infected patient. But it is not the virus that is causing the problem per se. It is the combination of foreign animal tissues that have been created in a lab, as is the case with AIDS. Such viruses have been spliced together. This can elicit certain behaviors from the innate immune system. This is the primary reason for why vaccines take so long to create. They are trying to provoke just the right amount of immune irritation without killing the injectee. They coax the results they want by splicing animal tissues together and including them with adjuvants and serums and toxic preservatives. Coronavirus is a type of severe acute respiratory syndrome. It falls in the SARS family and has flu-like symptoms. Both SARS and coronavirus is caused by man-made environmental toxicity. Chemically toxic substances from the air are breathed into the lungs and respiratory system, wherein they cannot be consumed and eliminated by living microbes. Specific non-living viruses are then manufactured by cells in the lungs to disassemble and break down these substances. Mild flu-like symptoms usually result. The symptoms associated with their removal are what occurs during SARS. Such airborne toxic substances are caused by burning plastics, formaldehyde, and factory-tainted air, which encompasses a wide array of very toxic byproducts. Older individuals with already weakened immune systems are prone to more advanced respiratory virus detoxification and will account for most deaths. This illness may crop up in millions due to dense populations, like in China, who are breathing in such air on a daily basis. This does not mean it is contagious. It is not. More than 99% of Italy's coronavirus fatalities were people who suffered from previous medical conditions, according to a study by the country's National Health Authority. More than 75% had high blood pressure, 35% had diabetes, and one-third suffered from heart disease. Symptoms may be higher in one individual because they require more viral activity to occur to cleanse toxicity. The body has the makeup and manufacturing blueprints already in the genome and inside the cell to produce 320,000 different viral variants. The genome directs each cell what type of protein to manufacture. This includes viral protein structures known as viruses. Therefore, even small amounts of viral proteins can be found in times of non-cleansing if tissue is magnified like the PCR test does. Viral proteins must be converted by cells into whole viral structures and then encoded to specifically dissolve specific tissues in and around cells. This is why we do not observe viruses attacking all cells in the body. They are very specific solvents that are discriminatory, not non-discriminatory, as science has stated. Coronaviruses are in fact real viruses. It is merely a type of cold virus. Not only can they mask the cases by claiming it is COVID-19, it could be any COVID strain and be able to be claimed as COVID-19, because there is literally no difference between COVID-19 and other COVID strains. And naturally, the test will not see the difference because there is not a big enough difference to note. Furthermore, the PCR test is observing genetic material left over from the virus. This means that if you've ever had a cold in your life and you happen to have had a coronavirus, it is very likely you will be labeled as a positive case, even though you are not experiencing any symptoms. There is always some level of viral activity in small amounts working in the body. It is only when large amounts of viral activity are called upon and working that you will experience symptoms. When viruses break down large amounts of toxic matter, that matter must be expelled by the body somehow. It must come out of the body. It uses mucus, coughing, sweating, skin excretions, and bowels to remove them from the body. If it is a respiratory virus, there will be respiratory symptoms to expel toxins from the lungs. Viruses are created in the following way. When toxicity has reached a point wherein it can no longer be held back by the body, mass amounts of toxins will be dumped into the blood system. In order for the body to get rid of these toxic accumulations, now in the blood, bacteria come in to feed upon this matter as the first primary method of removal. The processes of phagocytosis play a role as well. Parasites and fungus are also involved in small amounts, depending upon the toxic nature of the substances. However, if the tissues are so toxic and the substances so toxic in the body, living microbes will be poisoned to death when they attempt to consume this matter. Therefore, the body must utilize another cleansing method to get rid of this toxicity. The body has viruses to accommodate this situation. In such circumstances, cells come together as a whole unit, conspiring to cleanse themselves and their surroundings of toxicity, to restore cellular tissues and fluids. This allows new cellular activity to thrive. In order for a cell to manufacture a virus, it does so in the following ways. First, the cell will call upon the viral protein already existing in the cell. The genome plays a part, and the cell will call upon the blueprint of whatever virus is needed and determined by the cell to cleanse itself and its surroundings. The viral protein is called into the nucleus, wherein the virus is structured into its whole form. Before, all that existed was viral protein particles. Now, the whole structure of the virus has been manufactured and assembled in the nucleus. It leaves the nucleus where it is housed within the cell. The virus will obtain its RNA or DNA by the cell. Since the cell contains DNA, that means the virus being manufactured by the cell will also impart its DNA to the virus. This process allows the virus, with the help of antibodies, which are a type of white blood cell, to dissolve specific tissues. Replication continues in this way until the cell can no longer hold the viruses in itself. At this point, the virus wall will rupture on one side, allowing the viruses to escape and enter the rest of the body. The cell, while ruptured, is not destroyed in the process. The cell can easily heal this small rupture. This set of viruses will continue for 72 hours. After 72 hours, the cell will manufacture a new set of viruses with different cleansing mechanisms. After the first set has been exhausted by the body, the second set will be a little bit different than the first set, but both sets are the same type of strain. The second set will cleanse what the first set did not.